Our show coming to you from my hometown, Anoka, Minnesota, here on the Rum River flowing into the Mississippi. My connection to Anoka is through my grandfather, James Keeler, who came here from New Brunswick in 1880. He was 20 years old. He was a ship's carpenter, and he came down to help out his brother-in-law, James Hunt, who was very ill on his 140-acre homestead up in Ramsey Township. He came down to help him out, whereupon his brother-in-law, James Hunt, died of tuberculosis, and so my grandfather was obligated to stay and help his sister farm the place and to raise the children. And then he fell in love with Dora Powell of Anoka, who was teaching in the school across the road, and then he began his own family. They were all born at home out there up in Ramsey Township. My father was born there. I was born at Dr. Mork's Maternity Hospital on Ferry Street in Anoka. It was a big old white frame house. A lot of people here were born in the same place. Across from where it used to be, it's been torn down. There's a wall, a low stone wall along Ferry Street. You can see it, a wall that was built by my great uncle Albert, and my father helped him with that. My father graduated from Anoka High School in 1931, graduated into the Depression, and he depended on his relatives to help him out, as his father had helped his brother-in-law. My father went to work for my great uncle Lou, who had the Pure Oil Station here in Anoka. He helped Uncle Allie, who was a contractor, and he went to work in the Anoka post office, and then he went off into the army. I was born in 1942. So this is my hometown, but more than that, it's my hometown because it's a place where my memory keeps coming back to this place when I was a child. There are whole swatches of my 50s and 60s. I can't remember much at all. But I remember Uncle Jim's farm. I remember Uncle Jim and Grandma. I remember my grandmother in the kitchen baking bread on a wood stove and the smell of ash and kerosene in the air. And I remember how Grandma whistled under her breath. She whistled hymns, one of her favorite hymns. O thou in whose presence my soul takes delight, on whom in affliction I call, she would whistle. Uncle Jim was farming with Belgian horses, big black horses, and when I was 5 years old, he picked me up and he set me down on the neck of his horse, Prince, and I held on to the horse's mane and onto his halter as we went trotting along down a dirt path. Uncle Jim got off the hay wagon to open the gate, and on into the hayfield we went. You remember these smells. I remember when I was 5 years old and I was playing in the hay mow, and I fell through a hole in the hay mow, and I dropped down where the cows were. I hit my head on a little concrete bumper there in the bull's pen, and Uncle Jim came in and grabbed me and carried me into the house, and Grandma laid me on a couch, and she put some brown paper, wet brown paper, which had some medicinal value. She put this on my forehead, and I lay there and was made a big fuss over. For the first time in my life, I felt the comfort, the pleasure of being an invalid. I remember that farmyard and her chickens running loose in the yard, and geese as well, who were chasing them and chasing us. You learned the meaning of the word goose as a verb around that farm. I remember the Model T that was parked in the farmyard, and how my cousins and I, my older cousins, Janice and Susie and Marilyn and Philip and Judy, we sat in the back seat of that Model T, and we sang sad songs one after the other, little children singing, go tell Grandma, go tell Grandma, go tell Grandma, the old gray goose is dead. They were country people. They were country people. They moved to the city for employment, but they were country people still. My parents never bought any food, canned or frozen, that they could freeze or can themselves. It was shameful to pay money for something that you could do yourself. That was part of their belief. They were honor-bound not to pay outlandish prices for things. I remember the experience of walking into a cafe with my parents, and they looked at the menu, and it cost too much, and we got up and we walked out because it went against their beliefs somehow. As Christians, they expected to be translated at any moment into scenes of glory. The rapture, the second coming, was right there on the horizon. But in the meantime, my mother patched our clothes, and she darned our socks, and she collected our old cast-off clothing, and she ripped them into strips, and she knotted them into rugs. And in August, we picked tomatoes by the bushel, and we made stewed tomatoes from the garden. We scorched and we peeled them, and we boiled them in a pressure cooker, make 60 or 70 quarts of stewed tomatoes. Sunday dinner was always pot roast and gravy and vegetables from the garden, either fresh or canned. And if you grew up in a house with a garden and you ate fresh sweet corn, fresh from the garden, nothing ever will taste that good to you for the rest of your life. If company were there on Sunday, we would hold back and let them have seconds first. And we never took the last helping of anything. We subdivided it endlessly into halves. A slab of pie would be reduced piece by piece to this little tiny, tiny sliver. My mother sat at one end of the table and my father sat at the other. And he said the blessing before every meal, and it was always the same words, word for word for word. They were country people. My father and his brother Lawrence, younger brother, were very close. They were very dear friends. Uncle Lawrence was an accountant. He went to work for the First National Bank of Anoka. My father worked in the post office, and he was a carpenter. But they stayed close all their lives. We were sanctified brethren. The brethren of Anoka split from the brethren we were part of in Minneapolis, but that didn't affect Lawrence and John. They stayed as close as ever. My Uncle Lawrence came down and helped my father pour concrete to build the basement, to build our house, and set concrete blocks in walls. They were country people. They stayed close, and you were always welcome in the other's house. Once, when I was in college, I remember driving up to Anoka with my dad, and my dad said, "I'm going to drop in at the bank and see Lawrence," who by then was president of the First National Bank. Having a Keeler be president of the First National Bank, I now realize, standing here, may have been responsible for Lyle Bradley giving me a higher grade than I deserved in biology. There may have been teachers who thought I was Lawrence's son, and so they thought about their mortgage, and they gave me a boost. But anyway, he was the president of the First National Bank, but it didn't change a single thing. I asked my dad, driving up to Anoka, I said, "Do you have an appointment?" And my dad said, "I don't need an appointment. He's my brother." They were country people. They were country people. Didn't matter who you were. You were always welcome. You're always welcoming to your family. That's the news from Lake Wobegon. That's all I have to say. Good to be here in Anoka.